Thank you for tuning in to Cross and Crown Baptist Church. For more information about our church and service times, check out www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles and open your hearts to the preaching of God's Word.
For you over the last couple of weeks, we're kind of wrapping up this series here tonight. And for some of you, it may not be as big of a we're going to be talking about technology, and for some, you know, there are several who have lived before this style of technology, and so you've had a little bit of easier time dealing it rather than the generations that have grown up with it, and so maybe you don't connect as much with some of the things, but it does, I think it will help as with the grandkids, as with kids that are still in the homes. I hope this will be just some helpful thoughts to think about, and then it also does apply to our own lives in a lot of different ways. We're going to touch on some issues of technology, and there's a lot of application that can be made to other areas that maybe you're like, well, that's not me, but there's other areas I guarantee that could get out of line in our life when it came to the issue of technology. So let me start with 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and I just want to read you really one verse as we get started tonight. And the verse is verse number 12, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12. It says this: "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we get into this topic, I pray you'll just please allow it to be understood well. I pray you'd help us as we get through here, that you would just help me to be concise, to say clearly what you would have me to say, and that everyone would understand, there'd be no misunderstanding. And ultimately, Lord, it would be so that we can better serve you, be better disciples ourselves, as well as be able to reach this next generation well and effectively. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, I just want to talk about here tonight that Gen Z, as we have talked about lots of different things. Last week, we talked about the Generation Z is a feeling-oriented generation, which is a lot of our culture today, not just with that younger generation, but there's a lot of aspects of even the millennial generation as well as Gen Z there, okay? And so we're going to talk about a big issue of technology. And again, my purpose is not that we are talking about this in a way to look down at the next generation. That's never been the purpose of this series. The purpose of the series is that we would understand how to understand the generation, how to help maybe that generation, and also the other purpose is that those within that generation could see some of the issues that can arise out of it and be able to avoid some of those issues, okay? And so we're going to be talking about Generation Z and technology, but first, I've got a question for you, okay? When we talk about technology, these 5.5-6-inch devices that most of us have, how many have a smartphone? Does anyone have what we would refer to as a dumb phone anymore? Nobody? That's all right. You can be brave and be the one with the dumb. No one has a dumb phone. Okay, so pretty much everyone has a smartphone. Okay, when was the very first smartphone introduced? What do you think, Timothy? 2006, very common answer. You're close. Wasn't the BlackBerry? It actually goes all the way to 1994. It was the IBM Simon. Okay, the IBM Simon was the very first smartphone, and you can go to the picture there, Arissa. It goes to, there it is right there, the IBM Simon. It is not much to look at. It was a brick, had a little bit of a touchscreen. You could do email, fax, just a few little things. So as when you think about smartphones, it couldn't do a whole lot, but it could do some things, okay? So it came out in 1994. The iPhone came out in 2006, 2007 was when the first model of the iPhone. That's generally when we think of smartphones because iPhones really modernized and really the cutting edge technology. When it came to smartphones, some of y'all haven't gotten spiritual enough and moved to iPhone. You should. But not just they do all sorts of stuff. And what is amazing about this, okay, when you think about it just for a second, within your hand, I have I have calculators. I've got ability to text people quickly. I can call them. I can look at my email. I can Google anything I needed to Google. I can do basically anything I needed technologically to look up or do. I can do it on this little device. Isn't that amazing to some degree? Like, I know I'm still young. Some of y'all remember, you know, when computers were still like the little punch card thing just stuck in, and they took up the whole room, right? And then they slowly got smaller, and the laptops came out, and they still were about this big as a laptop. And then they slowly started getting smaller. And then, you know, we got the desktop computers, and they were still about this huge. And then everything has just gotten so much smaller to where now everything... Whereas, you know, we had to have different types of technology to listen to the radio. I had a radio, and then you had your TV, and at one time it was like about this big, you know. And now everything is right here. Isn't that is, to me, that is just an amazing, amazing advancement of where we have come as a society when it comes to the issue of technology. We have made huge advances. Well, Generation Z, born from 1999 to about 2015, truly is, in a lot of ways, the first generation to pretty much have completely grown up with technology, either constantly surrounding them or with the ease of access to it. Some within the millennial generation, there's always been that technology to some degree, but it always hasn't been quite as easy to access. Some of it wasn't as portable either. That's a big key with this younger generations, is they have technology that is portable. Whereas when some of us were kids, you wouldn't even want to try to take your laptop with you just because it weighed about 50,000 pounds. So now you can just take your phone and you've got everything, okay? And so the Generation Z, as well as the Alpha generation that is coming up now, they really are of the screen age. Their shared reality is shaped by these computer devices that we carry around in our pockets, by the unparalleled access to these devices that give us information, entertainment. It gives us access to people. It gives us access to ideas. It's an amazing feat that we have figured out how to do. And with the advancement of this technology have come some of these amazing things. And then some things that I also are not so amazing in our culture that I don't think we totally saw. So we're going to be talking about technology. How big of a part does it play in the lives of folks? And so we got a lot of information. Again, I'm going to go through. And then really, again, it's going to be a lot of information. And then at the end, we're going to kind of wrap it up with some thoughts of how can we use it well? What are some things we need to be cautious about? That kind of stuff. You guys ready? Everyone had their naps? Okay, well, don't fall asleep. Don't take it yet, okay? Here we go. Research conducted by Common Sense Media in 2019, before COVID-19, estimated that teens ages 13 to 18 spent an average of about 7.22 hours on entertainment screen media per day, okay? Now, that does exclude, I just want you to think about it, that excludes work or school screens, okay? Because if you haven't realized it yet, pretty much all of our world is made up of screens nowadays. Your car has it now. Every device in your home just about has a screen. There are refrigerators out there that have screens on there now, and you can just do about everything. They're really cool, but I wouldn't want to fix one. But yeah, you know, they're cool, okay? Everything has screens. But this is 7 hours of entertainment media screens, okay? Now, I know some were like, how in the world do you manage to do that, okay? Well, some of that would be made up of, this might be gaming, this might be TV, this might be listening to podcasts, this might be listening to music. There's a lot of things that apply to that screen time, okay? That could be social media. And so Barna Group, though, research also showed that, again, the overwhelming majority of Generation Z, about 73%, said that the 7.5 hour figure is consistent with that Common Sense Media report as well. 1 in 10, so 10%, say the estimate sounded too low, while about 18% said they thought it sounded a little too high. Okay, so there is a range in there. So if we look at the phone time, there should be a screen that pops up there. Let's look at the phone time there. Between teenagers ages 13 and 17 and young adults, you can see a little bit of the time difference, about 5 hours for teens, about 6.7 for young adults. If you break it up between men and women, about 5.22 when it comes to the men, about 6.35 hours when it comes to the women for screen time there, okay? So that's kind of breaking it down just so you can see. This is just very common. And believe me, if you ever take a look and you're just driving somewhere, how many have been to a mall recently? Or to just another, to a store? You could probably just do it within a store, okay? Have you ever noticed how many people are walking around just like this? Okay, maybe not quite that bad, but they're all. Now me, I'm doing that too, but I'm trying to figure out which aisle the groceries are on. I'm like, where's the lettuce again? I don't know. So I don't go grocery shopping very often. And when I do, it tells me where to go. So, hey, they can be awesome, but they can also, there's some issues that can come with technology. And so with that can be some of the interesting moments of where how much time is being spent on technology, okay? So if we break it up just a little bit more, let's see about what are we looking at, what is occurring with that. So if we look at some of these numbers here, we've got playing video games. Over on this side is our teens and young adult. Over on this side is men versus women. You can kind of see some of the time differences there, okay? So playing video games tends to be a little bit higher percentage of guys get into that a little bit more. Got about 2.63 if you broke it down there. Watching streaming services, that's not on your phone. You can see the different breakdown of all there. There's a lot of things when it comes to technology and screens that can take our time. Some of us, you know, some of you, you're like, well, I just use my computer and that's it. Okay, that's fine. Maybe you have your computer and your TV, but you have to realize and understand that for the rest of most of the younger generation, they've moved to where there is a whole lot vying for their attention today. And some have, as it has become more and more popular and readily available, some of us as in the older generations, you've caught on just about as much with that, okay? You're a little bit more proficient with technology now. You're able to keep up with it to some degree, at least some of the usage of it, okay? You're probably not doing all of the amount of time or all of these different things, but sometimes you are, okay? So, as we think about technology and we see just that breakdown of how much time is being spent on there, thoughtfulness about screens is paramount for their overall digital health of the generation, okay? And in their acknowledgement of the common sense media's accuracy, many in this generation did exhibit promising signs of self-awareness. A majority says that 7.5 hours a day is probably not good for the generation. But what are they to do? Much of the modern conversation of this topic focuses solely on limiting the amount of screen time. And while the metric is important, time limits alone is not a great approach, okay? Attention has to be given not just to the quantity of screen time, but also the quality of the screen content. That is a bigger deal than just the quantity, because let me just say this. Screens and technology are here to stay. I know some of us think and would love for it to go back to maybe the way when you grew up and you didn't have to deal with it all. And it would be great if it would go back to that. And there are some aspects of this culture it would be. As a 30-year-old guy, I look back and I look at what technology is and what it has done. And I look back in history and I say, you know, there are some aspects of the past that would be better without the technology. But it's here to stay. So the question, they are becoming more and more common, like I mentioned with appliances, they're becoming even in our vehicles, of the screens and technology. So the question really becomes, how can we as a society and as a church and as Christians, how can we control the amazing technology of screens and the computer age? So let's talk about just briefly, what does Generation Z say about their screen time? About more than half, 53%, admit in this research that was done that they feel bad about the amount of time that they spend. Significant differences do arise between the teens and the young adults. About 3 in 5, 60% of young adults say that their level of screen time makes them feel bad compared to teenagers at about 48%. This probably stems, I think, from the fact that teens seem to be more focused on the immediate here and now. It just tends to be that's a younger thing that occurs as you grow up. You begin to see the opportunities that maybe you may have missed. And so I think sometimes young adults, as y'all are growing up, you see the pressure of more responsibilities piling on. You see the potential of technology not just helping and being a part of your life, but you also see it. You can see the potential to distract you, to hold you back from accomplishing things that you want to accomplish. And that's one of the biggest issues when we talk about technology. It has amazing potential. It also has an amazing potential to distract if you're not careful. And so With this widespread national scrutiny of mainstream media, we find also this, that Gallup reports that U.S. adults' trust of mass media has dwindled in 2020 to about 40%, whereas it used to be kind of, there was just this general idea and consensus that whatever you saw almost to some degree was true. There's a lot of distrust of media today. So Gen Z is no different, and this is where we do see some encouraging trends occurring, okay? Gen Z considers themselves fairly digital. Conscious. About 77% agree that they give a lot of thought to their entertainment. 78% think that they give a lot of thought to the news content that they consume. The caveat that I'll mention here is that the data is based off of that which is self-perceived, okay? And as we often know, we can deceive ourselves how truly discerning we truly are. Sometimes we can have blind spots, right? And so it seems that at least, though, that they are trying to sort through what they're receiving. Because have you realized how many are on any type of maybe social media or you, through technology, you get a lot of news, okay? Have you realized at how much information comes across your path in today's world? Some of y'all, as you grew up, and I keep referring to some in the older generation because you've seen times of change, and the amount of information that you have today just hitting you on a normal daily basis is like a fire hose compared to when y'all were kids. It would take a long time for news, say the fire in Hawaii. Some in older generations, you may never have even heard about that fire. It wouldn't have even been on your radar. You might not even known that it happened. And now, within a few hours, we know it's happening. And we get the news footage. We know exactly what is happening. It's a deluge of information on a constant basis. And so a good thing is that I do think that folks in this generation, the younger generations, are seeing how much information is out there and how much of it is not always true. And they're trying to sort through it in a good way. So this is where the rubber meets the road, okay? So if we're going to use technology, we have to be sure to control it to be discerning about the content, the messaging, and the thinking that we are consuming. So I'm going to be hitting on one thing that is a big part of technology today, and it's going to be kind of seem like I'm really harping on this one, but it does have a lot of application to other technology, okay? And that is the biggest aspect of the technology today is social media. All right. And so before we all harp and talk about, oh, man, I can't believe all those kids are there on social media and wasting time for 7 hours. Just remember, probably some of us have other ways that we waste the time on. Maybe you're not on social media, but we'll waste about the same amount of time watching TV, or we'll waste the same amount of time watching other things. So again, the technology aspect, it's a lot of different ways, but this is a big one in this generation. Okay, so let me just do a quick poll. How many have some sort of social media account on any of the big major platforms of social media? Let me just see. It's okay. Don't worry. I'm not stoning anybody. Okay, how many use it daily? Okay, some of y'all like, I have an account. I lost the password. Can't get back in. Don't want to. Okay, that's all right. You're probably better off in some cases. Okay, so let's just kind of refresh some of the biggest social media platforms. And by the way, this is constantly changing. There's always a lot of other ones that pop up. Sometimes they go places, sometimes they don't. But here's some of the biggest ones, okay? We've got Facebook, or fake book, or however you want to call it, right? That's, by the way, if you're on Facebook, you're officially an old person. I'm sorry. I'm just breaking the news to you. All of my Gen Zers, they have these accounts, and they never use them. And I know they just did it just to, I don't know why they did it anyways, but they just, if you're on there, it's all pretty much millennials and above on Facebook for the most part, okay? You also have Twitter, or X as it's called. I don't know why they changed name, but he did. And so this one is a little interesting. I wasn't expecting this. According as of May 16, 2023, reported by X or Twitter, 13 about of their users, 6.5% of them were between the ages of 13 and 17. 18 to 24-year-olds, 24-year-olds made up about 17%. 25 to 34-year-olds made about 38%. 35 to 49, about 20, 21%. And then 50 and above made out about 17%, okay? I actually wasn't expecting Gen Z to have almost 20% of the users on Twitter. That had been kind of more of a, it's a big, obviously you can see by the percentage, it's a big within the millennial generation. and those within Generation X, but I wasn't really expecting Generation Z to really be a part of Twitter all that much. And so there is a big section that are on there, okay? There's also, this is a big one, Instagram, millennials and Gen Z, and old people watching Reels. You guys have joined in there, be able to watch the Reels as well. But Gen Z and millennials, that's the biggest section of Instagram, okay? Snapchat is a big one still, about 397 million daily active users. Now, I don't know if y'all are Gen Z. I haven't polled them recently, if they're still using Snapchat. Mark, you still using Snapchat? Every day, all right, so they're still there. They keep me young. They do. All these, my former teenagers, they're always letting me know exactly what's going on. So TikTok is a big one. We saw a huge boom of TikTok over COVID. Some of us had no idea what it was until we saw all these weird dances going on. And then we realized there was another app out there. There's TikTok. And then this one doesn't necessarily count as a social media platform, but this is still a huge area of content is YouTube. Okay, it's been around for a long time, but it still is the mainstream out there. And I've actually been surprised at how much folks have moved to not just doing like streaming services and stuff like that, but they get a lot of their entertainment straight from YouTube, okay? And a lot of information. I use YouTube all the time just to mostly to Google stuff of how to fix something or to do something I didn't know how to do, okay? So it's got a lot of great tools as long as you find the right video for it, all right? So those are some of the things about social media. So about 83% of ages 13 to 18 say, according to this Barna Group research, said that they used social media to some degree an average of about 2 hours a day, okay? Now, I've been in youth ministry for a while, and I thought that sounded a little low. So I went and did a little bit more research, and there was another survey I found in 2022, survey by Morning Consult, found that about 54% of Gen Z said that they spend at least 4 hours a day, and about 38 were saying maybe more than 4 hours. So I don't know where that all falls into that generation. It's not clear if social media usage is increasing drastically, but there is something interesting. There's a trend of social media of folks joining at a much younger age. So, according to the National Institute of Health, 56% of U.S. youths have their own social media accounts, with the average age of signing up at around 12 and a half years. Okay? So, and that's average. So that means there are folks who are much younger who have social media accounts and they're very active within them. Okay? And so we'll talk about why that could be some situations that could come. So from that, so emotions as they're experiencing using social media, here's a couple interesting ones. Social media, one of the amazing things about social media is how much information you can get on it, how connected you can stay. The amazing thing is that I can have friends who are, I was talking to Mrs. Balsamo about, they've got some family who's over in Belarus as missionaries there, and working with them is my best friend from college. And they're over in Belarus as missionaries. And I can stay in contact with him with texting and with social media. And I can find out exactly what's going on in their ministry. I can find out exactly what's going on in their family just because they posted. That's amazing. That's pretty neat. Whereas before, we you know, you had to wait for snail mail to show up with a letter of telling everything that happened and all. Or maybe we waited for emails to be sent out. And that still is how we do it to some degree. But social media, just ease of access of information, okay? And so the connection to the world is a feeling that folks are feeling with that connectedness, okay? A vast majority of those involved are saying, well, I feel connected to the world. I feel connected to other people. I'm feeling informed about this world. I get to find out what's happening, okay? You can see that folks, how much they're feeling accepted, how much they're feeling encouraged, appreciated, energized about life. Here is interesting, as you move to the next one, to part two, there's how much are they feeling critical of myself? How much are they feeling insecure, popular, isolated, harassed, bullied? And there is an interesting connection that when you look at the research and the data, there's a lot of percentage of folks saying, I feel super connected to this world, and yet there's still a lot of times that I feel isolated. And that is an interesting, fascinating thing of social media to keep in mind. So if we look at our perspective on social media from the younger generation, to stay informed, there's a lot that use it to stay informed. Here's an interesting one on that next slide there, Carissa, you can slide over to. How many feel incomplete without my phone? How many have ever left your phone and just felt like you're missing a part of you? I left my phone today for 15 minutes. I succeeded in life. No, I drove over here to church to make sure I got my slides all loaded up. And as I'm pulling out of the driveway, I'm like, oh no, my phone. I left it there. What if someone needs to reach me? And I thought, well, I've got my computer. I'll text him from there. So, no, I know, I'm a millennial. I do technology, okay? But there is that side effect, okay? For when we've had these for so long now, in the younger generations, we carry them with us all the time. And now when we don't have them with us, we start feeling as if we're disconnected from the world. And I know some of you are looking at me like, that's weird. But that is how the younger generation views it a lot of times. Until we actually purposely put them away and like, okay, I'm going to disconnect on purpose, all right? And so there's a lot of things how they view it, okay? One interesting one I want to point out here as a perspective on social media is this one. I compare myself to other people. There is a large percentage that agree strongly and agree somewhat with that. And I want you to notice that one because I'm coming back to that when we talk about technology. So I want to break it down. That's a lot of information. It's a lot of hours on screens, on technology, especially when it comes to social media, when it comes to communicating, comes to television, it comes to streaming services, to YouTube. There's just a lot that comes into our lives, into our minds, okay? By the way, the younger generation, with just the amount of information we have, they are exposed and opened up to new ways of thinking constantly. Ways of thinking that some of y'all never would have imagined was possible at their young age. That can be good and bad. Okay? They have access to information that you didn't have as a kid, maybe. That's good and bad. Okay? So breaking it all down, let's look at some pros and cons. Social media, number one, here's a pro. It's an amazing tool to stay connected to people, what I just mentioned there before. Social media as well, here's another pro. It can provide a ton of information, help stay connected with what is going on in society. I even feel this as a millennial, in the millennial generation. I don't really follow a whole lot. I follow some news organizations where they'll send me notifications and I'll read through it. I don't really necessarily just go out. Some of y'all, you go to the websites and you just look through Fox News or whatever it is, and you just read all of the articles, the updated, the headlines that day. Anyone still read a paper? Miss Julie, there you go. Miss Julie, keeping it there. Got a paper, okay? Most of us have moved away from doing a lot more online, okay? And I don't even do that myself. I tend to look at headlines that pop up across either my Facebook feed or Instagram or something like that, and I read up on what's going on through those type of ways. And that generally is becoming a trend of how people are getting that type of information, okay? So here's another pro. Social media gives us an inroad into the lives of people that we would never have otherwise. I want you to think about this. From a church perspective, the amount of people that we can reach through our Facebook page, our Instagram, is amazing. We have people on our Facebook page that are all the way over in the Philippines and have liked our page, and they follow along with everything that we post, and that will go and watch sermons. And we have an ability to reach people that we never could have before, and that's amazing. So you say, Brother Matt, well, are there some cons? Yes, there's a lot of cons that we want to mention as well. Here's one. The connectedness of social media is shallow. Okay? Here's one of the greatest lies about social media we need to remember. Okay? Just because you're friends with them on social media doesn't mean it's a deep relationship. Okay? We think it is, but it's not. Okay? You see the pictures. Oh, yeah, I followed so-and-so. We're friends. You've never talked to them a day in your life. You just followed their pictures. Okay? It can get really shallow really quickly. Okay? The constant bombardment of images and content is overwhelming and can often lead into areas that we should be avoiding as Christians, okay? And here's, I'm going to go into that realm in just a second, but let me just say this as well. The deluge of of news and even what I would refer to as bad news that we get from social media as well as all technology nowadays, I believe it's more than God intended most of us to handle. Okay? Used to be that all we had to handle was pretty much our immediate lives, our immediate communities, and maybe our city. And maybe occasionally you'd have something that blew up out of proportion from a nation standpoint, and it really, you know, shook the nation. But those were rare, and that information flowed very slowly. Whereas now, we just, every little bad news, oh, it comes into our news feed, and we're like, oh no, you know, be careful, someone got shot in that city that I've never been to, and you've never been to, and you're never going, but someone did, so be careful. Okay, that's not a fear that I'm supposed to carry. And that's something we need to be careful about as we look at social media and technology, even just the news constantly bombarding. Sometimes it's helpful, can I just say this? Sometimes it's helpful just to turn the news off and enjoy living life, okay? Hey, sometimes also just that information, it comes into our lives, and it's just not stuff that we need to be involved with as Christians. It's just pulling us down. Maybe it's just stuff that is drawing our hearts and desires away from Christ. And sometimes some of the things within social media we need to be very cautious about. There's a lot of filth and junk that you can find within social media if you really want to go look for it. And sometimes when you don't want to go look for it, it's still there, okay? And we need to be very cautious about that. Also, social media, as well as most technology now today, is they know exactly how to pull you in. How many have ever gone through, anyone ever looked at Reels or just started watching little videos on YouTube? And next thing you know, you're like 2 hours in, and you're like, what happened? You know, I was just going to look at one or two and fall asleep. And next thing you know, you're like an hour in. You're like, I'm still looking at cat videos, you know, right? And the addictiveness of it, I look at animal videos. Those are my favorite, you know. I just love them. My wife doesn't find them funny at all, but I do. So I'm cackling there in bed, ha-ha, you know. Anyway, so they're addictive. We got to be very, very cautious as we looked at that verse. I'm not going to be brought under the power of anything. I need to learn to make sure I am controlling this within my life. Okay, we're going to keep going here. Going to get through here quickly. As I mentioned, technology is a truly amazing thing. The ease of information has allowed us to rapidly advance scientifically. We have access to far more information than previous generations. We have the ability to more quickly study things. We also to develop new ideas and also to shore up old ideas, to be able to give more accuracy to previous ideas and thoughts. And that's what technology has allowed us to do. It can enable us to reach far more people with the gospel than we ever thought possible. Radio stations, podcasts, television, YouTube, social media, websites are all tools that we have available now that as a local church, we can have a wider and a broader reach into the community and into the world. Hey, and here's something. Who better than a generation that grew up with it to help lead the charge of a balanced and effective use of technology within the church and in their personal lives? Okay, I truly believe this. I'm still grasping some of these things and I'm not good at it. Okay, social media, I didn't have social media growing up. I got it once I got out of college and I started into kind of social media then. It is not the way that I think. When I have things happen and I eat a nice steak, I don't think about taking a picture and posting it online. I just don't. Some of y'all do in the younger generation. Not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. What I'm saying is you have an amazing ability to lead the charge in using it well now because some of us don't understand how to use it that well. Okay? It's an opportunity within the church to have an area of ministry even to reach folks within your generation effectively and well. Okay, technology also though, and this is what I want to mention. Technology has had some adverse effects on our culture. As we look back and we just see since really the advent of it, really where it just kind of blew up, there's a lot of change of our culture. And I do believe some of it can go back to, the biggest one is that our culture has moved away from God, okay? There is a close association though with the amount of technology we have in our culture now. And I do believe there's a lot of things that we see that have some interesting ties back to how much technology is around and used today, okay? We have the shallow connections. We have less real relationships. We often have the ignoring of familial relationships with technology. It can get out of control to where we're just not spending the time that we should as a family together. We're on our phones too much, okay? Isolated indoor activities rather than outdoor group activities, or maybe even singular expression of creativity and imagination, okay? Some of you, you grew up where your mom, you got back from school and your mom and dad were like, nope, you're outside, go find a stick and go play with it. I beat up many a bush with a stick, okay? It was a great fun, all right? That bush didn't stand a chance. Some are never outside anymore in this generation. And I have noticed that. There's a lot that just, they don't, used to be, you'd see kids running around and playing. I was on a evangelistic ministry when I was in college. I got to travel across the country. We would go out and look for teenagers to invite to come to this event. And you'd just go out to the parks and you'd go out to where they were skateboarding or whatever they do, and you just go invite them. That was a while ago now. And now, even more than it was then, it's very hard to go and find the teenagers because they're not outside anymore. And we need to be careful about what that is doing to us as a culture. We are now seeing where, because of the technology, we do have a lot of, in some areas, we have less physical jobs, we have less general exertion, we have unrealistic comparison of people's looks and lives, we have an overabundance of information, the availability of evil, wicked behavior, as well as wicked thinking. So all of these play a part in some of the trends we're seeing in America. We're seeing a high percentage of people struggling with depression and anxiety. We're seeing high percentages of people who are unhealthy, overweight, which is affecting not just their health, but also their self-perception and confidence. Hormone levels being affected because of the number of medications people are on, trying to control their emotions. We see this influx of passive and not active and feminized men. We see a lot of emotionally struggling, too self-aware, too self-focused women. We see disconnected families all across our country. And a lot of this has a part to play within the issue of technology. So you say, Brother Matt, what are you trying to say as you wrap up? I'm trying to say this. Technology is an amazing tool. But when not kept in balance, it has far-reaching impact on lives, societies, and churches. Because now that we've had it for a few decades, I believe that we not have always been aware of what has been occurring around us and seeing the ramifications of those changes. And so what I'm saying here tonight is we've got to fight against those cons. We've got to fight against the negative aspect while embracing the positive aspects and the amazingness of what we can do with it. So I want to give us just a couple thoughts here as we wrap that up. How can we use this well? Because I think some of those things that I mentioned, we've seen in our culture today. We think, well, why is that happening? Why is that happening? And some of it comes to just simple, practical things that used to be a part of our culture. Used to be that we all had, most folks within society had a very physical job when they were out. And now because of technology, I'm not saying it's bad, but we definitely, there's been a move where a lot more is done indoors. And so there's some practical things. Parents, when we think about just raising kids and in these next generations, maybe this also applies to you with grandkids. Hey, you know, help your kids and teenagers learn how to control technology at an early age. Here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying to toss it all out. Okay, like I said, technology is here to stay. So you need to learn how to use it and use it well. And if you haven't realized this yet, kids at a young age already can figure it out pretty easily. Okay, I've mentioned it before, but my little guys, they can figure out how to use it really easy. Okay, so my goal, because it's becoming second nature to them to use it, my goal is that I would teach them at an early age how to control it and use it wisely and well. Hey, that includes this, though. Hey, force them to go outside. Go without it at times to be creative. Get your kids outside. Don't just let them stay indoors and play video games all day. Okay? I know I sound old when I say that. And some of you are like, yeah, amen. And the kids are like, what? You know? Hey, some of the things that we're seeing within our culture, the anxiety, the issues of depression, some of those, there are some real issues that need to be solved, and maybe there's some medication that needs to come into play with it. But I believe a lot of that comes back to just people without purpose and focus in life. And some of that could be solved really easy by getting outdoors again and just getting healthy again, getting into exercising to give yourself purpose, get your mind, your body physically healthy. And it's amazing what that does to your mind and your spiritual life as well. Okay? Here's a recommendation. Parents, don't allow your kids to have social media too early. Okay? This is just me. I know some have it and some have allowed it, and that's between you and your family and God. But I truly believe that most teenagers would be better off without it. Okay? Wait until they have time to mature, to control it, and ultimately, if you decide to let them have it, make sure they understand reality. Because the greatest issue is this, and I'm going to speak to this here with Gen Z. Here's a couple things I want you to remember as you think about it. Number one, I want Gen Z to use technology to reach out to people to be a positive influence. If you're going to have this, use it well. Hey, learn to put it down and go without it, especially social media, okay? And here's why I say this. Social media is incredibly fake, and not everything that you see is real. Here's the thing about social media. You only get to see one picture of their life. You get to see the smiles. You get to see them with their filters on. You get to see them the best looking that they decided to make their setting. You get to see the fun trips. You don't see the turmoil. You don't see anything else going on beyond the scenes. How many times have you seen, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many times have you seen somebody you've been following on social media, they look like the happiest couple ever. The next day, it's a single picture. You know what that tells me? You don't see the behind the scenes. You only get to see one aspect. And so remember that. What occurs within social media and technology is we can begin this comparison game. Well, man, I just wish my life was like theirs. They just have it so good. Look at that. Look at where they got to go. Oh, man, look how pretty they are. And you don't realize that they probably put a filter on that looked that to look that pretty, number one. Hey, I can look pretty too with a filter, you know? Hey, real life tells a whole different story. Hey, don't forget, it's not as real as it likes to make it out to be. As we look at this, I want to also challenge you with this. Use technology to expand your mind in positive ways. Hey, it's here to stay, so use it to read your Bible, to learn about God. Hey, sometimes I hear, well, I just don't have time. I've got about 4 apps on my phone that have the Bible included. And one of them reads it to me as I drive. Hey, I guarantee you, if you think about it, you can find time to learn about God, even using technology. Take time to learn about Him. Hey, maybe it's that you need to expand your mind. Just stop with all the entertainment. Listen to a podcast on history, on a subject that will stretch your mind. I have just been, I don't know if it's just been awoken to it. I have tried to get in the habit now of reading more again. I used to read a lot, and then I went through kind of a lull where I didn't read, and I've been trying to read more. I've also gotten into where, as I stay very busy and as I drive places, I like to listen to things, and I like to listen to things that stretch my mind. And I have found that the more, I am not as smart as any of these guys by any means, but I sure feel smarter after I listen to somebody who's smart. And I sure think, huh, wow, that's a neat idea. And it's, well, you know, it's having it is stretching my mind. I'm not just filling it constantly with entertainment. And that's what technology is doing. It's offering a lot of entertainment. And far too often we fall into that trap. Instead of using it to say, okay, how can I grow who I am? Hey, if you're not learning, you're not growing. And so to this younger generation, I say, hey, use it to learn. As we just kind of wrap up this, I want to ask you some questions. These are just some simple questions to apply to your life about technology. This applies to social media. This applies to TV. This applies to everything. Pastor used this verse, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, he says, but I will keep under my body, and I'll bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached others, I myself should be a castaway or should be disqualified. He says, I'm gonna make sure I control everything in my life and bring it all under control so that way I don't fail. Hey, as you look at technology, ask yourself this question. Is it controlling me? Can I do without it? Hey, maybe if you can't, it's time to set it aside for a while until you think you can again. Hey, is it helping me or hurting me? By the way, I'm not just saying to toss it, but to actually look at it and say, okay, Is this helping me grow? Is this helping me with my walk with God? Is this helping me with my family? Or does it seem like it's pulling me away from God and pulling me away from the family? Well, that may mean that I need to control it. Maybe I need to get rid of it completely. Maybe I just need to say, I'm going to put some time limits so I don't get into it as much as I am, okay? These are questions just to say, okay, what is happening here? What is going on in my life? Is it taking my attention away from more important things? My relationship with God, my family, my marriage. Hey, maybe it's like, hey, I enjoy sitting there and I enjoy gaming a little bit when you're relaxing in the evening or whatever it is, but ask yourself this question. Is it taking away from my relationship with my family? Is social media causing me to be discontented or too self-focused? Ask yourself this. What could I accomplish if I wasn't using this technology as much as I am? What are the worldviews? What are the philosophies that are just filling my mind? Isn't it amazing all of a sudden how you can start thinking and we can get off in our thinking? And we don't even realize it simply because we've been listening to the wrong type of information. Hey, ask yourself this question. Am I physically, mentally, emotionally, socially, and spiritually healthy? And if not, what part does technology play in that? See, God designed us and wants us to, as much as we're able, within all of those realms I just mentioned, He wants us to be well-rounded, complete, mature. And we need to make sure that technology is being used in a way that is an amazing opportunity to reach this world. And yes, also understanding that there are some pitfalls and dangers if we're not careful. Does that make sense? I hope that was helpful. Again, my goal is not to bash on technology because we use it. I love technology. What I am saying is, as I am realizing to some degree, as I look around at our culture, I don't always like what I'm seeing our culture turn out to be with its use of technology. And we, as in our families and our churches, we should be the examples of how to use it well, of how to use it to glorify God, and how to use it to reach this world. Man, what I'm saying, it's so amazing we can get this gospel out. It's so amazing that there are people in world and places that can't even get a Bible. They could get a radio station. There's places that they can get an app and they can get online and they can see the gospel. That's awesome. That's amazing. Within our homes, though, we need to make sure we're controlling and we're raising disciples within the next generation that are serving God and serving Him effectively, and even within the area of technology.